We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what they call the 10th chapter, the 24th Pasuk. Megorat Rasha. We read it with the ancient Sephardi tune. Megorat Rasha Yitevoenu V'tava Tzadikim Yiten. Megorat Rasha. What the wicked fear. Yitevoenu. That's what will come to him. They used to have this ad from the IRS that they'll catch up to you. Eventually they'll get you. They have time. So what a person fears when he's wicked, part of the weakness of being wicked is that you live in fear. You know there are people out there who are waiting to get you. It's just a matter of time. You know the story, what was his name?
He was walking with a student in the shuk or something and he was afraid and he said, "What have you done?" You could see his
That's a good story. That's a Gemara, right? I was going to tell you a more modern story. That's a good story. He said, "What are you scared of?" And he said, the student said, "What do you mean? It says, Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid." So the Rebbe answered him, "No. Pachadu v'tzion chataim." The Pasuk says, a person's only scared if he's chet, if he's missing something. If you're in the right, you have nothing to be scared of. So that's true. That's a... I was going to tell you a different story, and I forgot the name. I had the story posted down below. I'm not so good at remembering mobsters' names, but there was a mobster. Not him, no. Not him either. Not him either, no. Something with a T. So at any rate, one day in Lakewood Yeshiva, a limousine drives up, and an Italian fellow gets out of the limousine, and he says, "I want to see the old rabbi." So they ask him, "Which old rabbi?" And he starts describing him. And you guys can look this up online. The story is recorded online with the names. I don't remember the names. So they said he started describing the old rabbi. And they tell him, "Oh, he passed away." So he's very upset. And he says, "Okay, fine." And he gets back into his limousine. So they run after him. They said, "What'd you want him for?" So he said, "Well, I'll tell you." The story goes back 50 some odd years ago, during the Holocaust, my father was summoned by the rabbi, and the rabbi asked him that he wants to get certain Jews out of Germany, out of the Nazis' hands, and we were the only ones who could do it. So we charged a fee, and we got the people he wanted out. And my father told him, he said, "Okay, this is the money you're going to pay, but you have to give me a blessing too." So the old rabbi looked at him and said, "Well, what can I bless you with?" So he said, "Okay, I'll bless you. You should die a natural death." And all around my father, no one lived a long life. No one made it to old age. Everyone died violent deaths. And my father on his deathbed told me, he said, the only reason he sees that he made it to a natural death was that old rabbi's blessing. So I came here, and my father told me to get the same blessing, so I came here to see what it would cost. But now I see I can't have it. So the Pasuk says, Megorat Rasha, there's this constant fear when one has done wicked things. The wicked person lives with fear, and he tevoenu, and ultimately it catches up with him. V'tavat tzadikim yiten. And Hashem makes it that the desire of the righteous comes true. Hashem helps them fulfill their dreams, because their desires are in a positive way. So Hashem helps that come true. Kavol sufa ve'in rasham v'tzadik yisod olam. You suddenly have a whirlwind and the wicked are gone. It's a moment. 1 minute here, 1 minute there. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. He keeps going. And this is, again, giving us perspective. Part of what happens in the world is that we're very impressed by people who have very big names. There was a time that Saddam Hussein made headlines. And suddenly he's gone. No one thinks about him. There was a time that Yasser Arafat made headlines. Every day, everyone was talking about this bloodthirsty, wicked person. And then suddenly, just like that, he's gone, and no one's talking or thinking about him. What?
With the Nobel Peace Prize.
Nobel Peace Prize, yeah. kavol sufa. It's a perspective. One of the weaknesses we have that the Torah repeatedly tries to draw us out of is that feeling that what's here is always going to be here. And that's a weakness that's ever present. People who make a good living don't save money because they assume they'll always be making a good living. People who are losing money, so they assume they'll always be losing money. When a person's out of a job, he has a hard time imagining things can ever get better. And the Torah trains us to see beyond the moment. When things are tough now, we have to recognize there will come a time, even though we can't imagine it, there will come a time when things will be better. My wife's grandfather, at every bar mitzvah, he always stands and cries, and he always tells the story how when he entered Auschwitz, he asked the person, "How do you get out of here?" So the person's pointed to the chimney stacks. He says, "The only way out is a smoke. There's no other way out of here." And then he says, look, I have a grandson who's becoming bar mitzvah. Not only was there a way out, Hashem brought me to places where I never dreamed. I didn't dare to dream. Well, part of the perspective that the Tanakh tries to develop within a person is the capacity to see beyond the moment, not to be taken by the moment. Chazal told us, Gzera avida debatla. If there's a decree that goes against the rabbinic ruling, so then the rabbis weren't quick to give way to the decree, because the rabbis said the things we institutionalize are for the eternity of Israel. And the decrees, well, they come and go. Things change. We're not going to change just because they chose to make a decree today. We'll try to figure out a way around it, but we don't make long-term changes based on short-term occurrences. What's the thing similar to a person that tries to gauge the stock market? So today it went up. Great. That doesn't tell you what it's going to do tomorrow. It doesn't tell you what it's going to do in the next 3 years. But when it goes up, there are still people buying. That's always what gets me. The stock market could go up 200 points and it doesn't go back down. Why isn't it going down? Because there's someone out there who believes it's still going up. So someone's buying. I don't know why you think after 200 points it's not going to catch its breath and take a step down. No, people are still buying. Why? That's the human weakness. So why do most people buy high and sell low? Because when things are going well, they assume it'll keep going up. They don't stop and tell themselves, hey, come on, it just went up 200 points. It's not going to keep going up. Same thing the other way. People buy high and sell low. Everyone knows they should buy low and sell high. But when it's going low, then the feeling is it's going to keep going down. I'm not buying now. And when it's going up, you think it's going to keep going up. I'm not selling now. So that's why people don't make money on any of these markets. There are many reasons, but that's a big one. Comes the Tanakh and tells us, look beyond the moment. You have a long time where he looks like he's the center of the scene. There were years where Arafat was really a major part of our lives. Kavo sufa ve'en rasha. Suddenly a whirlwind and bam, he's gone. The tzaddik, yesod olam, the righteous, they're like the foundation of the world. They keep going. And even when they're gone, they're not gone. They keep impacting the world. They become like part of the foundation of the world. We're still talking Rashi. We're still talking Rav Moshe Feinstein. There are things that become a part of Am Yisrael, Rav Yosef Karo. It always would excite me when Rav Moshe Halberstam, sometimes you'd ask him a question and he'd say, I think you should rely on that rabbi out in Tzfat, Rav Yosef Karo. He'd speak about him like he was still out there living in Tzfat. I think that's what you should rely on in this question. So yeah, he's still around. Sadiq Yisod Olam. Pasuk Chafav. Kachomitz Lashinayim V'cheashan Lainayim Keneatzel L'sholechav. Kachomitz, just like vinegar, is to the teeth. And just like smoke is to the eyes, so too is a lazy person to those who send him. And it's a certain wisdom that a person has to develop. We like to believe that things will work out correctly. And sometimes we let ourselves believe that things will work out correctly. And Shlomo HaMelech comes and warns us. You picked the wrong man for the job. You took someone who's lazy. So then you should know it's like vinegar. Vinegar doesn't destroy a tooth in a day. Slowly it eats away at it. you sometimes hire someone, and you know the guy is not diligent. So suddenly it's this corner he leaves hanging, that corner he leaves hanging. Over time he wears you down. Kachometz lashinayim, like vinegar to the teeth. Chashan lainayim, there are minutes that stings, like the smoke in the eyes. That's the way a lazy person is to those who send him. He's going to do the minimum. And so a person has to be smart in advance and ask himself, what can I foresee coming from this? Where's it going to take me? On the one hand, a smart person knows to delegate. I always say, if you do things yourself, your maximum output is yourself. If you delegate, you're limitless. The more you can delegate, the more you can accomplish. But you have to delegate to someone who's not an atzel, someone who's not lazy. Yirat Adonai, tosif yamim, ushnot reshaim, tikzorena. The fear of Hashem adds life, and the years of the wicked are short. So, the simple understanding is simple. Being a God-fearing person gives one longevity. And this goes into a whole other discussion. Do our actions really affect our longevity? Let's put it this way. Can I jump off a building and say, well, if I wasn't meant to die today, if in heaven it says I'm going to live 100 years, so nothing's going to happen to me. What's wrong? It's all written in the stars, no? So people become very silly when they become believers.
I know how, let's say that heaven says you're supposed to live 100 years, and let's say you, at 40 years old, you had to jump off a building. What will happen is that you'll just, your spirit is connected to sitting around the building until you reach 100 years old. Then you...
Interesting.
Maybe heaven just changes their mind when you're in the middle of jumping and they say, okay, no,
it's for this. So we have a rule, Damav Birosho. We have a concept in the book of Yoshua that his life is his responsibility, meaning a person can cause his own death. The Ibn Ezra over here says that even though there is nature, but Hashem acts within nature. And this is an idea we saw in the Ramban as well. That Hashem doesn't just leave it to nature. That the Ramban had said, that's the whole idea of davening. The Ramban said, the idea of Ashgacha Pratit is intrinsic to davening. He says, if you don't believe that Hashem can impact how nature plays itself out, whether a person will be cured or not, whether a person will have longevity or not, whether he'll be healthy or not, what are you davening for? The Ramban says, the whole idea of davening points to Hashem being involved in nature, and in this he goes out all out against the Rambam. But the Rambam keeps saying there's a natural course of things in the world, and it's rare that Hashem will do something that's different. Hashem keeps things within its natural course. The Ramban says impossible. The Ramban says the exact opposite, and Ibn Ezra also over here says that within nature, that's what we're saying. A God-fearing person will have longevity. The Talmud has a very interesting comment on this pasuk. Let's see if I can find the Gemara in Yuma. Gemara tells us, Yir'at Hashem tosif yamim. Being a God-fearing person grants longevity. What's that talking about? That's talking about the period of the first temple, where you had minimal number of Kohanim Gedolim. Ushnot Hashem tikzona, and the years of the wicked are short. So that's talking about the period of the second temple, where you had I don't remember the number the Gemara gives us. Where you had, I don't remember, tens of or 100 Kohanim Gedolim, and then none of them lived out their years because they weren't God-fearing people. So they die each year. Another Kohen Gadol would die. So I think, let's see, where is it? What? A Kohen Gadol would die each year. Different person would become Kohen Gadol because
Isn't there something that happens when the Kohen Gadol dies at some debts or something or reset or something?
Not exactly, but the people who killed by mistake go out of your Niklat. Pasuk Chafchet. Tochelet Tzadikim Simcha. Tochelet. What is the word Tochelet? Tochelet could mean the anticipation of the tzaddikim. The anticipation of the tzaddikim is happiness. So one understanding is that this is the idea that we've seen for the last four psukim, that Hashem will ultimately fulfill their anticipation, so they're happy. I would suggest another interpretation, that the things they anticipate are things that really are happiness. True happiness is things that are of true value. People think, I'll get the Jaguar, I'll be happy. If you need the Jaguar to be happy, then when you get the Jaguar, you won't be happy. But Tocheret Tzadikim, the things the Tzadik hopes for, so then those are things that are really happiness. Those are things that have true value. Building a good family, helping people, growing in Torah and his connection to Hashem. If you're hoping for things that have true value, so then you're on the right path to gaining true happiness. V'tikvat reshaim toved. And the hope of the wicked will ultimately, it won't come, it'll be lost. And again, you could understand that the other way too. In order to better understand this, maybe we have to borrow from Steinbeck. You guys ever read Steinbeck?
I read it somewhere.
Oh, what else?
That's what I read.
Of Mice and Men, thank you. So, of Mice and Men. You guys know the story of Mice and Men? Okay, simple story. There are two people who work together. One is big and very powerful. Another one is short and not nearly as powerful, but the big, powerful guy is a little retarded. And the short guy, he's his brains. And they go together and they work on plantations together, and they share a dream that they're going to build a farm together. And Lenny, the big, powerful guy, well, he loves rabbits. He loves petting the rabbits. But when he pets the rabbits, he kills them because he's so big and powerful that he doesn't realize it and he kills them. And his friend, they come to a town and they get a good job and they're doing really well. And his friend keeps warning him, if you ever get into trouble, we'll meet down by the pond. And it happens that he gets into trouble and by mistake he kills someone. But his friend realizes that they're going to lynch him, they're going to kill him. He didn't realize that he was so powerful, he didn't mean to kill the person, but he did. So his friend borrows a revolver, and he meets him down by the pond, and there are search parties out all over, they're ready to kill him, because everyone's confident that he did it on purpose, and of course he's retarded, so they're, in those days they were even more cruel to a person that's retarded. And so his friend sits down with him, and he says, Lenny, I want you to close your eyes and start imagining. And he starts discussing with him the farm that they're going to build. And the end of the book is where he really pulls the trigger as Lenny is envisaging all the rabbits he's going to have and the beautiful farm they're going to build. And the idea that Steinbeck felt was that the greatest thing you could give a person is hope, to have a dream. So to his mind, Lenny was given the greatest gift because he never had to deal with the search parties. And his friend keeps waiting, and as he hears the search parties coming closer, he realizes that's it. It's either now or never. So as Lenny is, with his eyes closed, talking about the beautiful dream, he pulls the trigger. And Horrible. That's a horrible ending.
It's a pretty dark.
Okay.
Ending. I think Sarah also had a dark ending, but
so pretty dark. I just saved you the whole book, right?
No, no.
Now you don't have to read the book. But we have to realize there is a point where much of our lives revolve around our hope. But in Judaism we say you should have real dreams and accomplish them. It's not like Steinbeck said, where the idea of pursuing the dream, that's the greatest thing on earth. That's not true. That's when there's no pot at the end of the rainbow. Why is it? What does Marilyn Monroe write in her suicide note? She says, I realize I'm never going to be happy. Why is she never going to be happy? Because she made it to what everyone's striving for. She knows what it's like to have all the fame and all the money and all the glory and have a president chase after her. And at the end of the day, she's not happy. So everyone else can still be happy because they assume when they'll get to her stage, they'll have it all. But if life is all materialistic, so then you have to go with Steinbeck's route, that the beauty of life is dreaming. The beauty of life is the journey. It's not getting there. We say not like that. We say your dream has to have real value, and then getting there is even better than the journey. The journey has to have value, but the dream has to be a real dream. A dream where if you'll get there, that'll have true value. And those are the two interpretations in this pasuk. Tochelet tzadikim simcha. The hope of the righteous is happiness. So the commentaries all interpret that to mean, it means what they're hoping for when it comes true, that'll be real happiness. It's not just the hope is happiness, because then the hope, Steinbeck's hope is also happiness. I'm hoping for rabbits. That's also happiness. No. V'tikvat v'sha'im toved. But the hope of the wicked, that brings them down. That you have to hope for something that has true value. And this is really a calling to each person to stop and ask himself, what am I striving for in life? What are my goals? What are my dreams? Where do I want to get to? And every person has to really have a mission statement. And we would do ourselves a lot of good if we'd stop every so often and gauge our time, gauge our investments, and ask ourselves, okay, where did I want to go? And has my time, my investment of time, really reflected where I want to get to? Am I on the path to get there? Very often, we get very frustrated because we say, hey, I want it to be somewhere else. Have I ever gotten on the path to get there? I had a friend who used to tell me every birthday that he's depressed. And I'd ask him, why are you depressed? And he'd say, well, I haven't yet finished Tanakh. I haven't yet finished Shas Mishnayis, let alone Shas Gemara. And I'd ask him, have you ever gotten on a course to finish Tanakh and Shas Mishnayis? And he'd say, sure, I was on a course. And I'm this close. I only have two Sfarim left to finish Tanakh. I only have a few Masechtas left to finish Shas Mishnayis. And I'd say, that's beautiful. So by next birthday, you'll do it. And he'd say, right. And you know where we were next birthday. Same conversation. So depressing. I'm 26. I'm 27. I'm 28. I'm 29. I'm 30. Every birthday, same conversation. I'm so close. But then you never got on the path to finish it. You never really got on the path to finish it. And if you think about it, we're all that way. We have certain dreams that we never start accomplishing. They remain as dreams. You want to get there, there's only one way. You got to get started on the journey. Ma'oz latom derech Adonai umchita lefoalei aven. Ma'oz latom derech Hashem. The strength of the whole person is the fact that he is on the path of Hashem. You guys remember the story I told you about that Holocaust survivor? He remembers. What? No. There was a man who used to get up every night from nightmares. And As he became an old man, one day he called in his children. They were already grandparents themselves. And he said, I want to tell you what my nightmare is. It keeps haunting me. Every night I get up in sweats, and you should at least know what it is. He was in a concentration camp, and he started making plans with a friend of how to escape. And they came to the realization that if they run away, then the Nazis would kill other people to punish the camp to ensure that no one ever tries again. So they went to the Rav and they asked the Shaila. They said, are we allowed to run away or not? And the Rav said, no one knows if anyone's going to live here. And no one knows what the Nazis will do and if they'll discover it or they'll cover it up and if they'll kill someone or they won't kill someone. So you're dealing with so many unknowns. If you could save your lives, you run. You don't have to factor anything else in. So they started making plans, and as the plans got more elaborate, the Nazis shifted their camp. So all their plans were scratched. Okay? They're working out in the field one day, and suddenly in the middle of a bright and sunny day, there's a sudden thunder shower. No one was ready for it. They're out in the field, no one's ready, and suddenly it starts pouring. One second it's nice, the next second it's pouring. And everyone runs for cover. And even the Nazi guards ran for cover. No one was ready for it. So he and his friend look at one another. They look at the Nazis running. They look at the forest in the other direction. And they both have the same idea. And they run. They make a run for it. And they're never caught. And he goes out and he's in the forest. And he joins the partisans. And that's how he saved his life. Night after night, he'd have a dream where he'd see the people he was in camp with come to him in the dream and say to him, because of you, we were killed. A group of people would come to him and start telling him, because you ran away, we were killed. And that was the nightmare that kept haunting him his whole life. And every time his answer would be, but I asked the Shaila. I asked what I was supposed to do. And with that answer, he was able to pull out of the nightmare and get up. And he'd always get up yelling, but I asked the Shaila. Ma'oz latom derech Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech says, the strength of someone who is whole is the fact that he goes on the path of Hashem. I don't know how people get through the labyrinth of life if they don't have a path. What's moral? There's a family here in this neighborhood that had many children, and then the father was diagnosed with cancer. And the mother didn't know how she'd manage. And then she discovered she's pregnant with a child. She knows he won't have a father. Meaning her husband was diagnosed with a cancer that they had no cure for. And she goes to the hospital, and they tell her the kid has terrible Down syndrome. Now she's going to have 8 orphans. None of them married. She has to bring them up. And so they bring in the genetic counselors and they start telling her, in such a scenario, you have to abort. And they start applying pressure and all the doctors come in and they give her over the head. And what are you doing? And who are you doing any favor for? And what are you doing? And she knows that she has no halachic permission to do this to the child. And so she goes through the pregnancy 9 months. 9 months knowing that she's about to bury her husband, doesn't know how she's going to bring up her children, and she's about to have a baby with Down. I learned with that boy. I danced at his wedding. He doesn't have Downs. They were wrong. All the tests showed he would have Downs, but he doesn't. Perfectly normal. But she didn't have any guarantee how the story would play itself out. What she had was ma'oz latom. The strength of one who's whole is derech Hashem, the path of Hashem. If you don't have a path, I don't know how you handle life, because life throws at us a lot of complicated decisions, and we have to call the shots. And if you have a path you're working with, so you know what, I'm on the path, like he answered in the dream. I asked the Shaila. I did my best. But if I don't have a path, and that's what the Kuzari says, then I have a real problem. Rav Yehuda Halevi writes in the Kuzari, one of the challenges of a pagan or a Sadducee or a Karaite is that they don't have a path. And so they never know if they fulfilled their obligations. Why is it that the pagans would burn their children? Because if I'm so zealous and I keep having this drive, I want to appease the gods, I want to do what's right, so then I'm going to push myself and I never have a pause. Because I want to do what's right, I want to do what's right, I really want to do what's right. Okay, you don't believe me, I'll even do this. But who says I want that? So if there's no real system there, then there's no limitation. So the Karaites don't have tradition. They say, however you interpret the Torah, you could interpret it this way today and that way tomorrow, but then you have no respite. It's never over. Maybe I should interpret it differently. Maybe the interpretation is really the other way. And so you never have a feeling of accomplishment. You're never good enough. One of the things the Torah should be giving every person is a feeling, I'm doing what's right. I remember I once asked Rav Pesach Zatzal, I said, I'm learning, and I think I'm making good use of my time, and I don't think I could do better. Am I wrong in thinking I shouldn't improve next month and this month? And he said, no. Sometimes in life, the Yetzer Hara, they have a saying in Hebrew, the enemy of good is better. Sometimes you're just where you should be, and the Yetzer Hara is not feeling content. A person should sometimes say, no, I'm doing good. So the Torah gives us that capacity. Ma'oz latom, the strength of one whose whole is derech Hashem. Because he has the path of Hashem. Umchita lefo'al yaven. And those who are going in a path that's a hurtful path, that's a deceitful path, that the fact that there exists a path of Hashem, that's what's going to break them, because they had an alternative. And yet you have people who, okay, I don't know, but then you have poalei aven, those who are purposely sinful. You have people who don't know any better, fine. But you have plenty of people who do. But the claim against them is ultimately going to be, there was a path, you had a choice, and that's the mechita, that's the breaking. The destruction of the poalei aven is the fact that they had an alternative. Tzadik leolam bal yimot. The righteous are eternal, and even if they fall, it's not forever. Even if they fall, it's not forever. This is a recurring theme in Mishlei and Tehillim throughout Tanakh. We don't believe in saints. We believe people have ups and people have downs, and tzadikim are people who have downs.
A fall for a tzaddik might be that he fails to make a brach with the proper kavana.
Or that he smokes on Shabbos, right.
No, not even smoke on Shabbos. Right. He didn't have the proper kavana at one particular time.
So you said what you said, and I said what I said, right?
He's not tzaddik, though.
Oh, no. And what if I told you there was a big tzaddik who had a really tough time in his life, and he started walking to serve an idol. He was walking towards the idol. What would you say about him? So I'd tell you his name was David HaMelech.
I cut out to that midway, that's why I didn't say anything.
Okay. So, no. And if we have in the Gemara the story of great tzaddikim, that the Gemara calls them tzaddik and chassid, and they had their falls. You guys just learned Kiddushin, no? So in the end of Kiddushin, you have a lot of interesting stories there. Amram Chasido, right? You have stories there, and the Gemara still calls them the pious, the righteous.
We saw Hasidah today climbing around the mountain.
He said
there's a Hasidah, right? I said, where's
the Shtramah? So, Tzaddik le'olam balimot. The Tzaddik is one whose falls aren't eternal. Meaning, he falls, but he gets back up again. The wicked, they can't hold on. They don't keep a grip. Because even if they have a time, when they fall, it's over. And every one of us has to know this point. Tzaddik isn't one who doesn't fall. Everyone has their downs. A tzaddik, one who gets up from the fall. Tov, we'll pick up here Bezachem next time.